dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gate Speed.
And at 12:03, we're about to talk trots. The dividends are up, though. Race 2 at Kilmore, 8-1, 3-4. Number 8, Humboshi, 370 and 120. 1 Champagne in Paris, 130. 3 Flying Frenchie, 140 and 4 was 4th. Quinella, 540. Exacta, 990. The Trifecta, 26.70. First 4, $180.10. And the 2-8 running double pay, $7.80. It's time to talk trots. And joining us, Jason Bonington and Michael Howard. How are you guys?
Very well, thanks, Nards. Of course, Blake Redden taking a little pre-Christmas sabbatical, just taking a knee before he gets stuck into the festivities of Christmas, Mick. But a lot going on the trots, as per usual, over the weekend. And we'll have a couple of special guests, both looking back and looking forward, Anthony Butt and Kieran Manning, a little bit later on.
Yeah, he put together a nice little agenda for us today, Bond. So looking forward to working through. But, of course, always good to talk to a couple of legends as well.
Yep.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we have learnt over the past week. And first of all, Bad Moon Rising and Soon to Be a Star.
Yeah, I'm certainly getting a little bit ahead of myself here with this horse, Moon Rock. He came to Victoria, emigrated across here. Mick House had him now. Of course, he's with Sonia Smith and Anthony Butt. And looked a nice horse, looked a really nice horse. Came over with a reasonably big reputation. Probably sort of looked like he was reaching his mark in some very good races. He was in the VicBred Super Series final or the Breeders' Crown. And he certainly looked like he was going to be a very nice horse, but he stepped up a whole nother level, I reckon, his last three or four starts. I went through his sectionals, his personal sectionals, for the last three times that he's lined up at Tabcorp Park Melton. His last halves are these: 54, then 53.99, and 54.63 on the weekend, which was arguably, well, probably was the best run of his career so far. And in between them, he had a terrific win at Cranbourne, where he also would have broken 55. We'll talk to Anthony about a little bit later, Mick. I think the Hunter Cup's on the agenda, maybe the South Australian Cup's on the agenda as well, but I just sense with this horse, the last three or four starts, as I mentioned, we've seen him go from a good, promising horse to one who might be capable of being up there around the top line, as they don't run sectionals like that unless they're pretty special animals.
Yeah, no, great summation, Bond. The good thing is we won't have to wait too long to really find out. We're going to find that out in January, basically, and in the first week of Feb for the Hunter Cup. There's a few paces around this sort of mark, aren't there? They're just knocking on that door and really prove themselves. I enjoyed Saturday nights, of course. I was there trackside. Plenty were. It was a great crowd at Melton, so it was good to see. And I managed to take on Major Secret in the Quaddy Bond. I ignored your advice, and I was happy to see Moonrock get up. I soon got turfed out, but it was a really impressive run.
Yeah, you had a moment. You had a fleeting moment of excitement there. But it was a very, very big performance. The way he sprinted, the way he let down, I think everyone thought he'd probably be in the breeze. He eventually had to settle back, and his turn of foot, I think we might have learned a little bit more about him too. Very, very good horse at the head of affairs, but that versatility to be able to come off the pace is really going to serve him exceptionally well, particularly as he acclimatises, transitions to those very good races, Nuts.
Okay, well, the second point is Petite proves that good things come in small packages.
She's knee high to a grasshopper. She always has been. She hasn't grown too much either, Sky Petite. Mick, once again, you were trackside at Tabcorp Park to watch this race. It wasn't an open class free-for-all trot, but what it was a very good race with three or four outstanding, rising trotters involved. We didn't get to see the best of Gentleman Sir. We'll also discuss that with Anthony Butt. Hopefully he's a very exciting customer, but he's got a few bats in the belfry at the moment that need to be eradicated before we're going to see the best of him on Aussie soil. Into the Unknown, Fabrication, of course. I thought their runs were both pretty good. Also, Santa Sunoco was good, but Sky Petite, the puppet, doing his best work. He just looked across to his left. He wanted to come out with Sky Petite, but when he looked across and he saw Gentleman Sir was galloping, he said, all right, we've got to put foot to the floor here and try and get the top. Got there, rolled along, and really bashed her rivals. I remember about 12 months ago heading into the Great Southern Star last time around. She was sort of one of the leading elects. A few things went wrong, and maybe she wasn't quite up to the grade, but look, she's a pretty good trotter on her night, and we saw that on the weekend.
Yeah, she absolutely rolled with it, didn't she? It was great to see that. It was sort of a bit of a show of power for Dean Patterson's trotter, so it was really impressive to see the way she finished it off, and Alfred just put him to the sword. He obviously knows really how to pace them these days. He's done it plenty of times before, but a lot to enjoy, and that's another window that's open as we head to some of those big trotting features. Who is the best trotter in Australia at the moment? There's a few question marks. There's a few young ones starting to really put their hand up, and like the likes of Red Hot Tooth, so certainly Sky Petite sparred that conversation.
And the next point is Sister McMullen that makes waves in Young Drivers Championship.
Yes, I was fortunate enough to be able to duck up to Queensland on Saturday night. Narissa McMullen is who we're speaking of. I don't know how many people were focusing on the Albion Park races on the weekend. It was a good program, the Darrell Alexander Memorial Trotting Championship, of course, and the Queensland Cup at Group 2 level was taken out by Aztec Bromac. But the feature of the night up there for mine, Mick, was the Australasian Young Drivers Championship. You see all the fresh-faced youths out there enjoying their time both on and off the track. And Narissa McMullen, she was swamped by Kiwis heading into the final night of the series. First, fourth and fifth heading into Albion Park on Saturday night. They're all Kiwis. She was second in the run, but I thought looking at her book, she can win this thing. She won the first qualifier of the four on the night. The only tag she couldn't shake was Dylan Ferguson from the North Island of New Zealand, and they went with 2 points between them going into the final qualifier, 79 and 77. They had the second and third favourites. It was all set up for a grandstand finish. Whoever finishes in front of the other wins the series. And they hit the line together. Narissa booted clear on the turn. Dylan Ferguson somehow got from three poles to be five wide on the track, and he would have been past Narissa about 5 metres after the post, but you can't script these things, but it was a wonderful end to what is always a terrific series.
Fantastic summation, Bowman, which I can add absolutely nothing to. So I thought that was fantastic, but I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And also Vincent and Chase fire shots across the bow.
Was that Vincent Chase? That was Entourage, wasn't it? So
it was,
yeah. Somebody's got to be using this a little bit. But Vincent and Chase Auckland we're speaking of. There were other big races at Alexandra Park on Friday night, including Better Joy and Joe's Dream, deadheading in the Queen of Hearts. But the two horses, I guess, we're looking forward to most from a Victorian perspective as we head towards the Summer of Glory. Vincent, we know he's a superstar. He's a four-year-old freaky. He had a wonderful three-year-old season, extraordinarily unlucky to be pipped by Ultimate Machete for New Zealand Three-Year-Old of the Year. I've actually got a Twitter poll going at the moment, Ultimate Machete versus Vincent. Who would you take if you could have buy 12-month shares in one of the two horses? They're contemporaries, of course, same age, same stable. Right now, Vincent's leading more narrowly than I would have expected. There's not a hell of a lot between
them. Certainly be Vincent. The question mark over Ultimate Machete for mine remains that gate speed and how that's going to affect him on the big stage.
I reckon it's his top-level speed as well. He's very, very good at applying pressure a long way from home. We saw him do that to Tiger Tara in the New Zealand free-for-all, and he was wonderful. He was always going to be too good for those horses over in Perth. I mean, he was clearly not right on the final night in the Golden Nugget. He was still too good for them. But when they meet again, it could be a little while, but certainly they'll both be on a Chariots of Fire path. It'd be interesting to see which ones target the four-year-old Bonanza here during the carnival, during the Summer of Glory. But he won. I didn't think he was, you know, magnificent. He was taking on older horses in the Franklin Cup. He got the job done. And then Chase Auckland, of course, we're looking forward to as a clear number one seed as we head towards the Victoria Derby from a New Zealand perspective. He copped a lot of pressure. They ran very fast time and he was very brave getting the job done. Nothing's going to steer me away from Lumineer in the Victoria Derby, but what did you make of those two performances?
Yeah, 6 from 6 for Chase Auckland. So if we start there, that was certainly very impressive. Mm. I mean, going to run into some good horses over here. We enjoy Lumineer. Poster Boy, we haven't quite seen where it's at.
Apparently, it's going pretty well at home.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to see. We want to see really the best of the Kiwis come across and the Vics take them on and ultimately smash him is also nice, but certainly Purden, well, he finished first five he had with Chase Auckland winning in those three-year-olds, so he's got lots of quality at hand. But just Vincent, it would have been nice to see Heaven Rocks not break at the turn, basically, to see that those two go head-to-head.
Just quickly with the three-year-olds, you were on track to see Little Peanut. Now, he'd be considered a minor player, I suppose, in the true scheme of the Victoria Derby, but he's having a terrific beginning to this three-year-old preparation. I don't know if you got a chance to speak to Greg about the horse, but certainly is there a feeling that potentially with the right run, with the right luck through the series, that he might actually be a major player, or is he just a nice horse that's going to come through and probably grow a little bit more through that series?
I did grab a few words from Greg in the post-race interviews actually did with Rob Orber. But he certainly sees it as kind of that next level that's still to prove itself at that absolute elite. But he loves the way it's going. He loves the way it hits the line. It wants to win. It's sort of a real racer, so he thinks that certainly puts it in the conversation. But they're aiming for the Vic Derby. That's the main aim of their campaign. They'll also potentially look at South Australia and New South Wales for Little Peanut, but Vic Derby's where they want to go. They want to see how it goes, how it compares.
And three heats confirmed to the roars of madding crowds.
This is a bit Sandra Sully with the late news. This is last Thursday, I think, you Mick Howard and and Cody Winnell here at Harness Racing Victoria made the official announcement. It was a little bit like the Inter-Dominion coming to Melbourne itself. It wasn't a terribly well-kept secret. I think we were all had our fingers crossed that it would go from the originally mooted two heats potentially out to three, a traditional Inter-Dominion series. This was always going to be a popular decision, and I'm sure you would have had a couple of people rock up to you at Melton on the weekend and say, we're pretty pleased this has happened.
Yeah, certainly an understatement to say that this was appreciated by the industry. This is what we want. That's what the Inter-Dominion is, staying test across the course of a couple of weeks, and so nice to see that confirmed. And the thing that I'm really looking forward to about this is the fact that New South Wales, New Zealand, Victoria, all on board. This is how it needs to be to grow this sport of trotting, where it's a small world, smaller every day with social media and the like. So it's great to see those three pulling together to make this a great race.
It's going to be one hell of a series. Cannot wait for it. I reckon the entire next 12 months, Nards will all be focused. We're going to have plenty of great racing. Of course, Breeders' Crown, Vic Bred Super Series, Summer of Glories, but that is going to be the piece de resistance, so to speak, that Inter-Dominion series here in 12 months' time.
Looking forward to it. We've got races that are coming up, guys. Starting off with the first race at Gawler, which is imminent. Race number one there comes up in a minute. And we've got Devonport's first, which is scheduled in around 9 minutes' time. Looking at the main ones in the market for the first race from Gawler, we've got number one, Peregrine Strike at $7.10. Long Gully Gilly at $3.60. Number six, Ellie Starlight is at $2. And then you've got the eight, Spring in China at $4.60. We'll take a short break, then go to Gawler for boys with gate speed. We've got leading driver Anthony Butt joining us. How are you, Anthony?
Yeah, good night, thanks.
What did you make of Moonrock on the weekend?
Yeah, really impressive with you. So, now it's a big win, you know, coming from back in the field like that.
And I've gone a little bit. I don't want to be going off half-cocked. I got a little bit overexcited potentially on the weekend when I saw the win in that good race, a popular arm free-for-all, getting home over the top, a major secret. But I've got to admit, I've gone back and watched it a few times since, and I've only been more impressed with the way he won the race. Take us through the race. Now, the way I had it mapped is you'd probably be outside major secret, and I thought, I'm not sure whether you can do that at this stage, even though he's a rapidly progressing horse. But you got so far out of your ground in terms of probably where you wanted to be. But the speed he showed in the final 600 metres, only very good horses have that.
Yeah, that's the comment, Cameron. The map sort of mapped out that I was probably going to have to sit outside him, but he got across and got a bad spot early. And then, Chris just rolled along pretty steady with Major Secret, just sort of fast enough, to stop me from getting round to the death. And, he was back in the field and had to make his run down the back. But, as you said, he really came out split as well.
How does that run compare to his progression, Ants? We've seen him now with 14 starts in Victoria for 7 wins, and he's only missed a placing once. Are your expectations getting higher and higher, or are you seeing what you've always expected?
No, definitely. No, we always hope they're going to get better and better, but he has. I think the other night's run was the career best run for him. It was probably first time taking on the big boys, and, even though some of the superstars were not there. But, he's just one of those horses. He's beautifully bred and didn't race much as a young horse, so he's just got better and better and better since he's been here. So hopefully he keeps doing that, and he's had some nice races where he's had some easy wins. So I think he's got a bit of confidence up as well. So and that's all working out well with him.
I'll tell you what, it'd be one man I reckon that would be a little displeased at the moment that the Hunter Cup isn't what it was, because we know how many Hunter Cups you've driven and won, and I'd say this horse off no handicap would be a massive chance in a Hunter Cup with some really good horses off handicaps. That's not the way he's going to be. He's going to have to meet them on level terms. What path do we plot towards the Hunter Cup, and is that your goal, or are you wanting to protect him a little bit more at this stage?
No, I think we'll aim for that, Javon. It's one of those races, it's only once a year, and it's on your back doorstep, and, one race not going to hurt him. But, we're aiming towards that, and we'll probably have a couple of races before then. And I'm a little bit keen to go to Adelaide with him. We'll just have to see what's going, what other horses are getting there. But, in the last few years, apart from last year when Smolder went, hadn't been the top-notch one. So if we can just avoid them, and could be a good race for him. So we'll definitely have, at least two starts before the Hunter Cup, and we'll just, mooch along quietly as we've been doing.
Which pops up a little cheeky question in my mind, Ants. You're going to have to make a question of partner versus brother with my field marshal, potentially. How are they two going to track them? Do you have a feeling of which way you'd have to steer?
That's not going to be easy, is it? But they're both pretty understanding. We'll just play up my ears and go through. Field marshals are probably not going to meet till Hunter Cup, so we'll have a pretty good idea by then how they're both going and who's going to be the better driver. But you know, at the end of the day, you've still got to drive the best one you think's got the best chance of winning.
All right, Devonport's pretty hot on a hammer, and so I just want to ask you one more question about Gentleman Sir. We obviously didn't see the best of him again on the weekend, but going forward, are we expecting that he is going to make an absolute top liner, and he's just going through a very steep learning curve here under different conditions that he was facing in New Zealand?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, he just got out of the gate when the gate left. He just tried to go too quick, you know, when they go and sort of half pace up behind the mobile limb and that leaves, you know, they've got to go from sort of 0 to 100 in a couple of steps. So he just couldn't handle that. And I still think he's 12 months away. That was the first drive of him the other night. And, you know, he made up good ground after that. But, you know, I still think, you know, the great southern star of that this year is probably going to come up too soon for him. And hopefully he can just meet through and get a bit of experience. And, you know, should be a lovely horse next year.
All right, mate, we'll take that under advisement because he has got that big boom on him, but maybe we just need to lower our expectations for the next, say, 3 to 6 months and expect to see the best of Gentleman Sir, who's by Love You, who's got that staying prowess about him, maybe 12 months away from his absolute best. Mate, we appreciate your time this morning and good luck going forward with Moonrock and all the very difficult decisions you're going to have to make over the next 6 or 7 weeks.
Good position to be in, Jase. Thank you.
There he is, Anthony Butt. So, guys, we've got Kieran Manning on the line.
Yes, terrific. The lure issue there giving us a little opportunity, and we're very happy for it. Kez, we've got a few questions to get through, but we're going to start with On the Crest of a Wave, who's going around in the Alabar Gold Chalice at Group 3 level on the weekend at Tabcorp Park. 3 from 3. You must have been impressed with the first up win. She beat a pretty handy one.
Yeah, she did. Yes, she certainly pleased us with her run. She's probably needed the run a little bit. It was probably a bit less experienced than most in the field, and it wasn't a bad little field either. So we were really pleased that she was able to get the win. And, you know, she certainly had a little bit of luck in the run with the others taking each other on a little bit. But, yeah, she still got the job done.
Yeah, the favourite was certainly one you know well, and I'm Princess Gemma, of course, Kez, who you drove to give Leroy O'Brien one of his real highlights of last season with the Big Bread Platinum win. And I reckon you might be able to give us a good idea into the Alabar Gold Chalice, the real showcase race on Friday night, because you've got connections all over the place. Do you know which one you're going to drive in particular? Will it be Amelia's Courage for your dad? And what are your expectations of how some of these shape up against each other?
Yeah, certainly. It's a really nice little field of fillies. Certainly a bit of class amongst them all. I actually won't be driving any of them. Grant's going to drive our filly, and I can't drive the others because I train her. So
right.
I'll be watching on the sidelines. I never watch very well, but I'll be watching. So I certainly, we certainly got the better draw on some of the better ones, but it's an interesting little field. She's going to have to be pretty good to be able to beat them. And Amelia's Courage the other night went really well. I thought about all right. She came from a long way back and in a really quick last quarter. She went really well there. So she's in good form. Michael Stanley's horse certainly is looks like a nice one. And, of course, I'm Princess Gemma, who's obviously drawn pretty ordinary, but you can never count her out because she's got a bit of class on them too. And certainly there's a lot of other fillies in it too that certainly are quite good.
I just put out a Twitter poll this morning about Ultimate Machete and Vincent and which one you'd like to buy shares in for the next 12 months. Well, the next question might be, who are we going to buy shares in between Our Golden Goddess and Amaretto? And you train both of them, Kez. Now, we saw Our Golden Goddess equal Amaretto's track record there at Ballarat on Friday night. It was a beautiful performance, and you gave me one of the great quotes before, and I'd like you to repeat it in terms of how quick you thought she was going. You certainly didn't think she was going track record speed.
No. She just seemed to be jogging along under oats there. But, you know, like I said, it felt like it was about 2-1 or 2-2. Tomorrow I would have beat it. She just did it that easy. Just come back and see the time. It was like, oh, yeah, that was pretty interesting to see how quick she went when she didn't feel like she was doing it at all hard. So, and certainly knocked off a little bit in the last bit, but in saying that, could have been a little bit tired too. So certainly when they come at her, she finds, and it was really pleasing to see her go so well, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a bit like we were talking about with Anse a moment ago, in a difficult but very good position. And I'd say if anybody came up and said something about Amaretto and was saying that Our Golden Goddess is potentially better, you'd be quite defensive of Amaretto. She's done such a wonderful job over the next 6 months. Which way would you be leaning? If you had to drive one of the two tomorrow in a major mare's race, who gets the nod?
Oh, putting the hard questions now. Look, she's certainly proven herself, Amaretto. She's been so wonderful and done so much. And the other mare, I don't know quite as well, but on a run the other day, she seems to be just as good, maybe, but without having been proven, it's hard to say that. But her runs in New Zealand against Lazarus and that were really good. She certainly proved herself over there that she was very smart. And, maybe it'll come down to the draw, let's say that.
Very diplomatic, I like that.
Lovely fence sit, yeah. It's going to be a long season for Amaretto, isn't it? I guess if we see her go towards that ladyship and still be around for the Summer of Glory.
Yeah, it was a tricky decision to decide whether to go for the ladyship. She gets home tonight or tomorrow, I think, and I guess we'll see. She's had 2 weeks off over there in a nice different place, so she's had a good little freshen up. Certainly, we'll assess her when she gets home as to how she seems, but at this stage, we're going to maybe aim for that ladyship, and she should just be ready in time, all going well. And then, it was hard to decide whether to give her a break or not, but... yeah, it's hard to not run in a $100,000 race, isn't it?
Definitely. Thanks for that, Karen. There's Karen Manning, guys. We'll do it again next week. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Nuts.